قوه الا بالله العلي العظيم. ثم الصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين ابي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. My respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, salam alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. تقبل الله أعمالكم. May Allah accept your أعمال, your fasting, your prayers, your reading of Quran, your du'as, your night prayers, and all those special efforts that you're putting forth in this month to make the most out of the special opportunity to be part of this divine banquet, which is the month of Ramadan. The topic that we've been blessed and fortunate to be covering has been that of the life lessons that we can learn from aspects of the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran. We began by talking about some of the fada'il, some of the merits of Nabi Ibrahim from the Quran, and then we began to examine some of the logic and dialogue that Nabi Ibrahim has with his opponents, the idol worshippers of the time. And we've been trying to show all the while that it's not just about reading some historical event that took place in the past, but it's about trying to understand how these same figures and these same themes are present even in today's society, and learning from that as well. And that, after all, is what the Quran is for us to reflect upon it, to learn from it, to gain lessons from life from it. Tonight, inshallah, we are going to be looking at a few different places where Nabi Ibrahim, in the course of talking with these idol worshippers, arguing with them, discussing with them, disputing them, debating them, where he points out how they are missing out on some things by worshipping idols. There's some things that a believer in Allah has, some special blessings and special opportunities that a believer has that an idol worshipper can never have. The first of these we are going to inshallah see in Surah Ankabut, Surah 29, verse number 17. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Nabi Ibrahim tells them, إِنَّمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا وَتَخْلُقُونَ إِفْكًا. You are worshipping other than Allah these idols, and you're creating falsehood in the form of these idols. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَكُمْ رِزْقًا. Those idols that you're worshipping other than Allah, they don't own rizq for you. Rizq, in the language of the Quran, is provisions from God which take care of our needs. Anything, any need that we have, whether it be a physical need, whether it be a spiritual need, that is called rizq. They don't own your rizq. فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ وَعَبُدُوهُ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ. Three commands that he gives them. He tells them that based on what I've just explained to you, that they don't own your rizq, three things you have to do. Number one is seek from Allah your rizq. Number two, worship Allah. And number three, be thankful to Allah. إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. It is to him that you will be returned. Now, these three instructions that Nabi Ibrahim gives are very important for us, because these are three actions that a believer in God, a worshipper of God, of Allah, should be doing. Number one is that he says, seek from Allah your rizq. إِنَّ اللَّهِ الرِّزْق. In the Arabic language, when you order a sentence in this way, you say, فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْق, indicates limiting our pursuit of rizq only to Allah, meaning we don't seek rizq from any other source but Allah. Now, that how that translates practically, what that means, of course, is that we need to try our best and try our hardest to make use of the opportunities that Allah has given us to seek his rizq. Many of you are students right now. You go to school. Okay, when you go to school, you are seeking the rizq of ilm from Allah, and you're making use of those means, those channels that Allah has placed at your disposal to earn that rizq. Many of you are people who work, right? You too, when you drive your car, you go to the workplace, you apply for your jobs, you get a job, you're also making use of those channels to get the rizq of Allah. But a believer who understands that this rizq is coming from Allah has access to some things that other people will never have. Let me give you an example. There was a student of the Hawza, a talabe, as they say in Qum, student of the Hawza, talib al-ilm. One day he finds that he's really in need of some funds. He had taken a loan, and the date of paying that loan back had come up, and he didn't have the funds for it. He doesn't know what to do. Right? He goes to Ayatollah Bahjat. This is when Ayatollah Bahjat, rahmatullahi alayhi, was alive. You know, maybe 10, 20 years ago. He goes to him and he says that, look, I have this situation. I'm really in desperate straits. I don't know what to do. Do you have any advice for me? Ayatollah Bahjat says that, look, you know, I can't do anything for you from myself. But there is an ayah in the Quran where Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You might recognize that ayah. It comes in the story of, anybody know, Nabi, which prophet? Nabi Yunus alayhi salam. Right? Nabi Yunus was in a pretty difficult situation. Right? He's in the belly of a whale, in the depths of the ocean, and it's dark, and he's stuck, right? It's a pretty bad situation. So at that point, instead of despairing, Nabi Yunus alayhi salam goes into the state of worship, and he calls upon Allah, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-dhalimeen. And then Allah says in the Quran, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. As soon as he does this, we answer him, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. And we rescued him from that desperate state that he was in. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It's not something limited to him only. This story, this incident that took place, is not just about Nabi Yunus, it's a general rule in the universe. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. There's a special form of najah, a special form of delivery, a special form of rescuing that is reserved for the mu'mineen, for the believers. Ayatollah Bahjat tells him that there's this verse in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ نُجْمُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Go and ask Allah and see what he can do for you. That student, after leaving him, he goes back to his room and he's feeling the pressure, right? So he falls into sajda and he starts to cry and beg of Allah to help him out of the situation. Suddenly, he gets a phone call and somebody tells him that there is an amount of 700,000 tomans that has been transferred to you. Please come and pick it up from this address right here. It so turned out his loan that he had to pay back was for 550,000 tomans, and he got 700,000 tomans. So he got exactly what he needed and even more as well too. And it worked out for him. These type of special avenues and channels are available exclusively for mu'mineen. Right? Other people who don't have that channel, they don't know about this special rescue line, you know, that's reserved for believers. They don't know what to do in such situations. But they get depressed. They get bankrupt. They turn to drugs, right? Because they don't know what to do in such situations. But believers have a recourse. Nabi Ibrahim tells them that if you were to worship Allah, فَابْتَغُوا عَنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ. He's the one who owns that risk. It's waiting for you. Right? There's a certain portion of risk which we're going to get no matter what. But a certain portion which is waiting for us, we have to go and ask for it. We have to show that we deserve it. Go and seek from that risk from Allah. وَعَبُدُوهُ. And then worship Him. Because after all, we have to worship the source of our risk, right? That's where we're getting it from. وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. And be thankful to Him. One of the ways, yarhamukumullah, one of the ways that we know whether we are worshipping Allah is we have to ask ourselves, how thankful are we to Allah? Do I have a spirit of thankfulness in me towards everything that Allah has given me? Ulama have, on the basis of ayat and riwayat, they've identified four levels of thankfulness that we need to have when it comes to the blessing that we've been given. Level number one is the level of dark, idrak. Do I understand? Do I have knowledge of the blessings that Allah has given me? Do I even know what I've been blessed with? Have I thought about this? Allah tells us in the Quran, وَذْكُرُوا أَلَىٰ Allah. Remember, remind yourself of the blessings of Allah upon us. If you look at the words of the Imams, alayhim as-salam, whether it be Sahifat al-Sajadiyah, whether it be Nahj al-Balagh, whatever it is, the Ahadith and Al-Kafi, other books of Hadith, you find that one of the things that they focused on is they reminded themselves always of the amount of blessings they had from Allah. In one hadith that's attributed to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that in every breath that you take, every breath that you take deserves a thanks to Allah, being thankful to Allah. He says, no, not just one thanks, bal alaf, but rather thousands of saying thank you to Allah for one breath that we take. Right? Within that one short hadith right here, there's incredible wisdom. One of the things that we can get from this is that when we start looking at this concept of the blessings that Allah has given us, we start to enumerate them, right? We're like, yeah, okay, I'm able to breathe, I'm able to see, I'm able to do this, I'm able to do that. That's just a first pass at understanding the blessings that we have from Allah. But if we continue looking deeper and deeper in that same blessing that we've been given, we start to see other avenues of how this is even more of a blessing than I even thought in the first place. Right? Imagine that one breath that we take. We don't have to think about it, we don't have to worry about it. Right? It gives us energy, it gives us a sense of being refreshed. Right? So many things if we start thinking about it. Right? The fact that we have this ability to filter out the bad and take in the good air. Right? And so many other things that come about by these blessings that we have. Step number one of being thankful is to identify and be aware of the blessings that we have. Step number two that the ulama have identified for us is they say that, peace be upon Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi. Number one is to identify. Number two is to be happy about that, to be content with that. Do we have this state of contentedness within us? We have to ask ourselves, am I happy with what God has given me? Yeah, I'm always looking for more. Right? We human beings have been created with this desire for wanting more, which is a good thing. Because it compels us to like be working harder, to strive, to do what's called jihad in the Quran, strive. Right? Striving for perfection. But at the same time, with whatever I've been given, I have to ask myself, do I have this sense of thankful of happiness? That thank you, God, for whatever I have. Sometimes I remember in my experience in Qum, you know, when you're living in a Muslim country, it's different than when you're living in a non-Muslim country. It happened on more than one occasion where I would be in a taxi with an elderly gentleman. And, you know, everyone's Muslim, right? So they don't have to hide anything, right? Along the whole journey, the man would be saying, you know, khudara shukr, thank you God. Every step, every stop that they would make, as getting out of the taxi, khudara shukr. Like these people have arrived at the point in their lives that after 60, 70, 80 years, they see themselves being a recipient of just a ton of blessings. That they have to always be saying, shukr, thank you God. Right? So they feel that happiness within ourselves. Number three, the third step is to say thank you with our tongue. Right? One thing to feel it in our heart, that's shukr al-qalb, thankfulness from the heart. Third is to say it from our tongue, actually to say thank you to Allah, and to, in action, go into sajda and to do shukr. The Ahlul Bayt, whenever they would remember a blessing that Allah had given them, they would fall into sujood, and they would thank Allah, say shukr lillah, alhamdulillah, from that position. And the fourth, and the ultimate state of thankfulness to Allah, is to put that blessing that Allah has given us into use the way that God wanted us to, and not for the sake of disobeying Him. That same energy that we gain from taking those breaths, can be dispensed in a number of different ways. Right? The people who are out there, you know, beheading innocent people in whatever country, Iraq and other places, right? They're using that same energy to disobey God. Whereas we ought to be using it and seeing how can I place this blessing in the best way possible, dispose of it in the way that God wants me to. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So this is one argument that Nabi Ibrahim gives to them to show them what they're missing out on. The rizq of Allah, the thankfulness of Allah. The second verse that we want to cover for today is from the same surah, Surah Al-Ankabut, and verse number 24. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقال إنما اتخذتم من دون الله أوثانا. You've taken these idols, he tells them. مَوَدَّةً بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The reason, one of the reasons which has spurred you to take these idols is that it is a source of bringing yourselves together and having mutual love with one another. This is a very interesting verse. It talks about one of the secrets behind idol worship, which is the people who take idols, they do so as a way of forming bonds with one another. At that time, different tribal groups, different tribes, different clans, they would have their tribe idols. It'd be like, okay, these people have the Lat, and these people had the Uzza, and these people had Manat, right? And they would give them names, and they'd pride themselves on being associated with a particular idol. They would have special rites of worship that would be particular to their clan. Because we're part of, you know, we're the people of Najd, for example, we would have these special idols and these special rites that would be associated with those idols as well too. And it would be a form of bringing themselves together as a form of unifying themselves. We are a community based on idol worship of this particular idol in this particular way. Nabi Ibrahim calls them out on that. He says that you're doing this, مَوَدَّةً بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In this world, this is a source of bringing yourselves together and having an access upon which your love to one another revolves. But then what does he say next? He says that the reality of this is something else. ثُمَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of Qiyamah, on the day when all of you will rise and you'll see the reality, your true forms, the truth will be revealed. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. What's going to happen then? يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَيَلْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Then on that day, you will do kufr of one another. And we're told in hadith that this kufr in this particular verse means that you will do tabarri of one another. You'll disassociate with one another. Not only that, you're going to curse one another as well too. يَلْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا وَمَأَوَاكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. And your destination is the hellfire, and you won't have any helpers there. He says there,